The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Anthony, 9:30 at night here in the UK. What time is it where you are?
It is 3:30. 3:30 in the afternoon.
What the hell is taking you so long? What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm good, man. Just busy. Summer. I feel like in the summertime, I'm busier than I am when the kids were in school. There's more kids than drivers and more places to be than adults we have in the house.
It's weird, isn't it? Because, you know, like, I say it's weird. You know, like people look, they watch TV, they see UFC fighters, they see them in the octagon, they're making the walk, they get a win, a knockout, whatever it is, they jump on top of the cage, they're doing all that. But we're just regular people. And then you're dropping the kids off, going to the grocery store, doing the normal stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They all have camps and it's volleyball and basketball and then wrestling twice a week. And then, you know, my oldest has a tutor, you know, to get her, you know, she's going into sixth grade. I don't want her to be, she's struggling with math a little bit. So we got a tutor, give her some extra help, get her on track. And it's like in and out constantly. It's holy shit. It's busy.
Yeah. Well, that's called being a good father. Being a good father. And I wanted to bring this up real quick off the top because it's Father's Day this Sunday. Yeah. Now, my parents, my children, they won't even remember. Rebecca won't even do anything, you know. But I was just watching a meme before or an Instagram clip, and it was some comedian that Brian knows. He was going, Mother's Day is the second most popular holiday in the world, only behind Christmas. Father's Day is number 20. It's like, I can't think of 18 other holidays.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Halloween's at number 6. So that means ghosts and goblins and ghouls come way before, like 14 times before the father. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
they said like Arbor's Day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know that my hometown?
So you saw the same thing.
I seen the end of it, like, because it said Arbor Day is like 16th. And Arbor Day, nobody really knows what that is, but
my home,
it's about trees and shit. It's about planting trees and saving trees. My hometown is the home of Arbor Day. We founded it, oddly enough.
Well, you guys can all burn in hell, but
it's bullshit, actually. It's bullshit.
Very important, very important. Sustainability, bro. All jokes aside, it is. But all the fathers out there, happy Father's Day to all of you, because you all do such an important job. Listen, not taking away from mothers. Mothers are so incredible, but young men need a positive male influence in their life. They really do. And I think sometimes you can see the difference. You can see the people that haven't had a father or someone, or not even a father, someone that kind of took that role. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So fathers in this modern day and age, we're not getting the crack of the whip that we deserve or the rub that we deserve. So there you go. I'm rubbing off old fathers this weekend.
I'm with you. I'm pro dad. I'm pro mom too, but
Of course,
you know, I don't want to make it seem like it doesn't matter, but fathers are an important role. And I think that they get missed a lot, and it's because maybe we don't ever act like we need it or expect it. But, I think fathers are a huge role in daughters' lives and how the father treats the mother or treats other women or whatever. So from me to every father out there, at least the ones that are doing what they're supposed to do.
Happy
Father's Day.
And absolutely, I just want to say, Jan Bisping, I know you're sadly your father's not around these days, Anthony, so sorry, I've got to rub it in your face. But Jan, Dad, should I say, not Jan, Dad, hope you're well, have a great day, and I'll be here Sunday, Dad, if you see this, because he said he's going to listen to it later tonight. Dad, Sunday, we're going out for a Sunday roast for you for Father's Day, and there it is. Anyway, stacked show, lots to talk about. Marvin Vettori versus Jared Cannonier this weekend, we'll talk about that, give some predictions if you don't mind. But I was just scrolling social media before, and I don't know what to make of this, right? We're not in the business of scandalous gossip or right. anything like that. But we saw the thing with Conor McGregor at the Miami Heat last week, where he drops the mask off, okay? Now a story has come out, and I'm reading the Instagram article here. Conor McGregor accused of raping a woman at the NBA Finals, which is that night. There it is. It says McGregor has been accused of raping a woman at Game 4 of the NBA Finals. According to demand letters authored by attorney Iris Mitchell that were sent to McGregor, the NBA and the Miami Heat this week, the incident happened just after the Nuggets had won. In the letter, Mitchell claims the NBA and the Heat security helped separate the woman from her friend and then forced her into a restroom that McGregor and his security guard were already inside of. Mitchell says in the letters to the the woman was able to elbow McGregor repeatedly, which gave her a window to escape. However, she allegedly fled in such a manner that she left her purse. When Mitchell says she went back for her and they held her hostage until she pleaded with them for its return. In the letters, she says security refused to let the woman exit or allow anyone else, including her friend, inside the bathroom. The lawyer then claims McGregor emerged from inside of the handicap stall, shoved his tongue in the victim's mouth and aggressively kissed her. Of course, McGregor's reps are saying it's false. And I'll just say this. Listen. I've got to pick my words carefully.
Yeah.
Choose my words carefully. That's a tough one. Because there is a lot of real accusations. I'm not saying this isn't real. I'm just saying that when I read that statement, it just seems a little weird. I mean, for example, listen, all right, fair enough. Here's the real parts. McGregor broke his leg. He's in the handicap stall. Makes sense.
I missed that. Yeah, that's a good one.
He's got titanium chin bar. That part stacks up. But hold on, are we supposed to believe that McGregor's security guards are now in the business of abducting women?
Not just the McGregors, the Heat and the NBA security are helping him.
And they're dragging her into a bathroom where McGregor's waiting in hiding, licking his lips, waiting, and say, oh, here she is. And I am not making light of it. And that's why I'm saying I'm giant. And of course,
but that's what they're saying.
Well, that's what they're saying, which is crazy. So not only is McGregor here. And by the way, I just saw another article. She's not pressing charges. She just wants a settlement.
Of course she does. Here's my one critique of Conor. And this isn't me trying to stand on my pedestal. This isn't me trying to be better than him. This is me speaking straight to Conor, because I've gotten myself into some really weird situations where all of X, Y, and Z is true, but everything else after that is bullshit. But I put myself in a position to be accused of something, nothing like this, but things that weren't true, right? What I had to learn was that I needed to do a better job being the position that I am in the world. Whether that I would never call myself a celebrity, I would say that I'm a fairly known figure in my small finger of the world. So I've had to learn that I had to be very careful about the positions that I put myself in, and then I try to imagine to myself, what could this be twisted into? What could this look like if there's no one to back me up? So what I would say to Conor is, I don't know if she's telling the truth. It sounds kind of funky. It sounds weird. So I don't initially say, oh yeah, that stacks up, because it just seems weird. But
yeah,
my advice to Conor would be, stop putting yourself in positions to be taken advantage of. Don't be in bathrooms with chicks. Do I doubt that Conor would be in a bathroom with a chick? I don't doubt that for a second. Do I think that he's having NBA and Heat security help him sexually assault some random girl? I highly doubt that. Because the other people aren't going to help him do it. I don't think it's so much. I'm not giving him a question, Conor. There's a lot of other people that are involved. That seems very weird. But Conor needs to do a better job of just stop putting himself in weird fucking spots.
It's situational management.
It is.
Same thing. I've been guilty of it. I mean, look, listen, the reality is that there seems to be a lot of controversy that follows him around. And, you know, maybe he's not his own best friend, if you know what I'm saying, you know, or his own worst enemy, should I say. And I've been this is me judging him. I mean, Conor's a million times more famous and wealthy than I ever was. or am or whatever, you know. But even still, you know what I mean? I've found myself in certain situations, you know what I mean? You got to learn how to manage this. And maybe it's now that I'm 44 years old and I've learned a little bit and I'm a bit more mature. But if you're someone like Conor McGregor, you know, and he doesn't really, not that I know or I've seen, he's not the type of guy that is, you know. I mean, he kind of keeps, you know, he's always in the VIP section or he's flying private or whatever. You know what I mean? So he's not like he's sitting across the pub across from my house, mixing up with the locals. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you just keep a select group.
But sometimes.
But there's a saying, there's no smoke without fire. There's a lot of smoke. I'm not saying there's fire. You know, like the situation with the old fellow in the pub back then, that wasn't good. So like that doesn't help him, you know, but so he could do a better job of situational management. But when I read this story, and I hate to say it, and I'll let you have your say right now, it didn't add up.
It doesn't. And again, I'm not the person, like I've always been the person, like if she said something happened to her, then we need to at least, we need to go down that route and make sure that what she says is or isn't true. We need to get to the bottom of this. This is one of those ones where I'm like, I don't know, man, that seems kind of weird. And I just don't, it just doesn't add up. And again, I think situational awareness is one of the best ways you can put it. He just got to do a better job and not put himself in these weird ass positions to be accused of things if it's not true.
I mean, look, listen, I mean, the man is just the center of attention wherever he goes, not because of through design. It's just because he's Conor McGregor and he's loud and he's boisterous and he's flashy. You know what I mean? And it attracts certain types of people, you know, and I'm not saying that's not his fault. He's entitled to live the kind of life that he wants to live and he's entitled to enjoy the success. You know, and reap the benefits of all the hard work that he's done and all the success that he's had. But at some point also, you know, you're going to say, all right, maybe not be in the disabled toilets with a woman or whatever.
Right.
It's just because Rebecca said, I was talking about this to Rebecca, and maybe Beck, you can give your side. Rebecca, you can give your side. Because we were talking about it before we started, and I said, I don't think this adds up. And she said, "Well, Michael, you can't say that."
That's how I feel too. Like I hate saying that because I don't want to discredit some girl if something negative did happen to her.
But isn't that 100%? Because it's
a serious allegation.
It's right up there with one of the worst things that can happen to a woman. You know, because they are vulnerable, and it is very sad that there is some men out there that are predators like that. You know, and I don't need to go into what we all think of them because it's pretty self-explanatory.
Right.
But there is also some people that come out and make up bullshit stories. And I'm not, we don't know any of the details.
Right.
Just what we read there, though, just that alone. The number one, she doesn't want to press charges. Surely any woman on the world would want to see him punished by the law.
Right.
And not just want monetary compensation. And then multiple security guards drag her into the thing. And they're all complicit. Rebecca, come here. Just let's get a female's perspective here. I'm not trying to bring her onto the show. No, but it is interesting. I mean, this wasn't planned. Just come over a little bit so they can see you, Beth, if you don't mind. Remember, you were saying, careful what you say, Michael.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying it's not a good look if you go, I think she's lying about being raped. I'm not sure if that's a good call because we don't know the details, but you know, I just said, you know,
yeah,
that's what I said. We just need to find out more details, really.
Yeah, no, but
I don't know. I don't know that she's lying. I would never come out and say, nope, that chick's lying. That's bullshit. But I think it's okay to question it because the details do seem kind of weird a little bit. I feel like even say he did. And she goes on and presses criminal charges. Can't she then sue him anyways and look for a settlement on top of that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bit curious as to why she's going straight for
for the cash.
Yeah,
because it's, again, but we're just going off history. She's always tricking the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go after them. They pay them under the table, which she hasn't done that. She went straight to TMZ to get the maximum amount of publicity. Right. But we don't know the details. We don't know.
Well, Connor's kind of screwing himself in the past, too, because he's done so much stupid shit. He doesn't always get afforded the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
So he's kind of the perfect person.
Yeah, but there has been a few of these situations.
No smoke without fire.
Well, no more smoke. Well, you just go and mop the floors or something. How about that? Happy Father's Day.
Say, that makes no sense.
I don't know. It was a joke, man. It was a silly joke. Anyway.
I heard the comment about Father's Day. You didn't get me anything for Mother's Day either.
Every day, did you guys hear that? Every day is Mother's Day in your
Every
life.
Every day is Father's Day for you.
Yeah, shut up. Get out of here. Oh, dear. Anyway, so Hamilton isn't here.
You know, I just want to say something, Mike. It is so refreshing when your wife and your kid like kind of flip you shit. Because I think from the outside, I think a lot of people are like, well, these guys are doing all this really cool stuff. And they're so cool. And they're the head of the household. And I just get straight abused in my house. Like, Someone's talking shit all the time. Someone's giving me shit. My wife's belittle me about something, my kids, I didn't do something right for them. So it's like, it's refreshing. Like, okay, I'm not the only one that catches a bunch of shit from everybody.
Oh, listen, in terms of a pecking order, right? It's the kids first. What I mean? Without question. I'm somewhere between Harry the dog and Shady the lizard. You know what I mean? That's where I come on the pecking order, you know, but still, I'm a happy man.
Right. I'm far below the dogs.
We're not here to talk about that. Stop going back and forth, though. Seriously, just get the F out. You are doing my head in now. All jokes aside, we've got a show to do. So Harrington isn't here right now. Brian, how are you, brother?
Right. I'm doing good, Mike.
I'm doing good. So you're going to play Harrington until he shows up. No, we're fantastic. So let's talk about this. What do you think? Should we do the John Jones thing? What's the biggest story, Brian, in the notes?
Ooh. Biggest non-MMA story, or we're going
MMA. MMA. Let's get into some MMA stuff.
Well, we do have
2,000 years later.
You need work on your Harrington impersonation.
I'm sorry.
There's lots of umming and ahhing and this and thatting. But give us a two-shot, Brian.
Yeah, I'm leaving. Oh, Tito Ortiz choked out a radio host. That's
MMA. Did he really?
Yeah.
But what do you mean, what, for fun, like I did to Steve-O?
So, kind of. They went on he was on a radio show, and the guy, I guess, volunteered to get choked out. However.
Non-story.
Okay.
However.
Here's the video. The guy taps out, and Tito keeps it on.
All right, here he goes. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, so he tapped.
Oh, he didn't let go.
He's tapping.
Oh, there he goes.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, that is a little bit different, to be fair, Brian.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was trying to get there.
But we've all been there a million times. We've all seen it. I did it recently to Steve-O. We've seen it. Sorry, bro. Doesn't make the cut. All right, let's take a quick minute to thank our newest sponsor, Manta Sleep. Look, listen, I've been talking about this for a while. High-level athletes and performers, they know quality sleep is the foundation for everything that is good that happens in their life. And driven by that belief, Manta is on a mission to give the light sleeper like you control and mastery over their sleep. Listen, with Manta Sleep, you can maximize the enjoyment of life and unlock your full potential. The masks are 100% blackout for deeper sleep. They are made of soft, breathable, and durable materials, so you'll never worry about it stretching out or falling off. And they got a massive variety of masks. Like, check out the brand new Sound Mask, featuring razor-thin Bluetooth headphones with a 20-hour battery life. And as always, Manta features a 60-day risk-free trial and free shipping in the USA. 60-day risk-free. Try it. Don't like it? Send it back. Free shipping literally won't cost you a penny. So go to the website, mantasleep.com, and see the full selection of sleep accessories. They've got everything you might need. Body pillows, weighted blankets, sleep machines, everything that a light sleeper could need. And trust me, you know what I'm talking about. If you're one of these people that suffers from not sleeping well, it really affects your day. So take a hold of that right now. Go to the website, mantasleep.com. Use the promo code Bisping to get 10% off the perfect gift for yourself or the light sleeper that everybody knows. Manta, sleep better anywhere, anytime. Islam Makhachev, he's not happy that John Jones is considered the pound for pound number one. I have the quote right here. He says, "How John Jones can be number one? He beat some guy who's not champion. This guy gone, don't have belt, and they put him number one pound for pound. This is bullshit. doesn't matter how he beat him. The UFC put pound for pound. But the other people who know about MMA, they know who the best fighter in the world is. Don't call me the lightweight champion. Call me the best pound for pound fighter. Thoughts, Anthony?
Well, if you're Islam, I get it. I get it. You've dominated everybody. You've beaten everybody. You're champion of the world. You've been relatively untested until Volkanovski. Volk was the pound for pound number one at the time, and then you beat him, and then you don't go number one. I get it. I understand it. If I'm Islam, the resume of John Jones holds up to any. I would go out on a limb. There's a few that you'd have to take out of it, but overall, generally speaking, the resume of John Jones, especially early, stacks up to any two champions at one time. Just him by himself.
Without question. So I'm like, just bringing up
the names. Just the names on that list. It's UFC legend after UFC legend, yeah, after multiple champions to Hall of Famers to, and the way that he's done it, you know, until this, you know, the last four fights or whatever, Cyril gone aside, he's fairly dominated everybody and pitched shutouts. I mean, people talk about DC being one of the greatest of all times. John Jones beat him fairly handily twice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first one was pretty close, but the second one, yeah,
we got the second one for sure.
We got the whole Pikogram things, but he finished it. Yeah. You know, listen, Islam Makhachev, legions of passionate fans worldwide. So I got to pick my words carefully. Tremendous fighter. I'm a huge fan of him.
Yeah, me too. He's incredible.
Huge fan. I love what he brings to the table. I love his style. You know, he's carrying on all the tradition and everything that Khabib brought to the table, and he's continuing that. It's almost sounds disrespectful, like a Khabib 2.0, but I think that's fair to say. And I understand and I respect him wanting to be held in that regard. Mm-hmm. The reality is he's just not there yet, sadly. And I don't say that with any amount of spite or malice. I'm looking at his record. Since he came to the UFC, there's been great wins. Nick Lentz, Chris Wade, Gleison Tibau, Cajun Johnson, Armand Sarukian, good win. David Hamosh, these are all good wins. Drew Dober, Moises, Hooker, right? Bobby Green. Then it's Charles Oliveira and Alexander Volkanovski. Mm-hmm. The fighters that I mentioned up until those last two are all really good fighters. You don't get to the UFC unless you're something special. But they're not elite.
Right.
They're not champions. They're not Hall of Famers. The last two, Oliveira, Volkanovski, for sure.
For sure. Fit that bill.
As you said about Jones, it's just legend, Hall of Famer. It's just
multiple
generations. And I like Makhachev for being so ambitious, but the reality is he's just not there yet.
It's a time thing. He just hasn't been around long enough to even be in that same realm as John Jones. He hasn't had the opportunity. It's not that he's taken advantage of every opportunity that he's had, and he's done incredible things with those opportunities. He just hasn't been around long enough to have those. I mean, just the few guys that just stand out to me, just the, like, he beat Rashad Evans, DC, Rampage, Machida, like Vitor Belfort. I mean, some of these guys are just guys like previous generations that just changed the sport, and John kind of just went through them all. And it's just crazy. And so I do appreciate Islam's mindset, though. I appreciate that he feels like that. And so I don't want for a second to sound like I'm shitting on him, because I appreciate him. I respect him for feeling like that. And he should. Yep. He's doing everything he needs to do to continue to climb that ladder to get to where John is.
But it's a champion's mindset, you know, and that's what he's got. So good for him. But you know what? He doesn't want any part of the BMF belt. He said, I don't want any part of that. That belt is for underdogs, you know. They handed the belt to Diaz and Jorge Masvidal, who will never become champions. They need to put an end to this after the first time. So he doesn't want no BMF belt. But Volkanovski, he's all about it. 100%. He's like, let's do it. He said, I'll be the BMF, I'll be the lightweight, and I'll be the featherweight champ as well. Would you be up for the BMF belt challenge?
Yeah, I would love that. I think there's a certain caliber of just, or a certain type of person that just fits that bill. Like Masvidal was, like, you take Masvidal, Diaz, Poirier, and Gaethje. Like those four guys if they never hold an undisputed title, essentially you'd be saying they're just like everybody else, which isn't quite fair because those guys are just different. They're different. And I think the BMF belt gives an opportunity for maybe people that never have held the undisputed title. I think that gives them something else, another accolade, another trophy, another, just a, I don't know, just some acknowledgement that they're a little bit different. Like Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier, I think that those, you couldn't find two better people to fight for the BMF belt. If neither one of those guys ever hold an undisputed title, at least one of them will have something special that someone else doesn't have, and it holds them above maybe just the rest of the pack.
Yeah, without question, fully agree. And the reality is that there has been a lot of people like that throughout the history of the UFC. You know what I mean? Who are three that you could think of? I did a video on this actually recently on my YouTube channel. So people, check it out, please. I think it was eight of the BMFs or something like that. Who did I have on there? I mean, like Chuck Liddell. I mean, obviously, he was a longtime champion, but right. He was a bad mother effer. Chris Lieben. There's Lieben. A guy that never doesn't get the recognition.
Chris Lytle would be another good guy.
Chris Lytle. Yeah. Who else did I have on there? I mean, Wanderlei Silva.
Yeah.
Bit of a prick. Yeah. Bit of a jerk.
But even like a guy like, kind of think it like, even like Dan Hardy, like Dan Hardy.
Vanderlei
was not a champion.
Go ahead. A little joke. Vanderlei was a scary guy before the plastic surgery. Oh my god, they made him into like a walking feline. What did you do to him? Oh dear. So still. Anyway, there it is. About Makachev, not a happy camper right now. All right, we'll do a little non-MMA.
Okay.
So this is mental. Brian can be ready to cue the video when I say, but the CEO of Lululemon, and this is wild, and maybe Brian can give a bit of background. I'm assuming there was a robbery at the store. The CEO of Lululemon says that he stands by his decision to fire store clerks who chased shoplifters out of the store, citing the company's zero tolerance policy for intervening with a robbery as reason for firing the workers. We have a zero tolerance policy that we train our educators on around engaging during a theft. What the F? Brian, we've got the video, please, mate.
No, seriously, get out.
Jesus.
Video their car.
So far, she hasn't done anything.
Hasn't done anything yet.
They're about to zoom out.
I know, but I don't.
And that was it. She got fired for that, Brian, for like literally just like saying, get out.
I'm as weirded out about it as you are, Mike. Yeah, I guess for leaving the store after the offender.
The world is going so soft. Listen, those guys that came in there and did that, they're pieces of shit, right? Mm-hmm. But they clearly come from a very, disadvantaged background. You know, not
I'll
the best
say it. They don't look like they ever shopped at Lululemon before.
Well, no, they don't. And Lululemon's expensive back
then. Yeah, they stole about $15,000 worth of shit there.
Hey, I'll tell you this. This isn't an ad for Lululemon. I have some Lululemon tracky bottoms, sweatpants, you guys call them. I've had them for years. I wear them a lot. Every time I get on a long haul flight, I always put my Lululemons on. Yeah. They still look brand new.
Mike, I'm going to be honest with you. I mostly wear Lululemon.
Are we coming out as the Lululemon massive?
Yeah. Like I would say almost every day I'm wearing Lululemon pants right now. Like it's shorts, pants, like their joggers are just so comfortable. They're light.
I got the Adidas, bro.
There we go. Dude, I got the fancy colored Lululemon shorts. I'm kind of a Lululemon snob. Look at that. Your Adidas up.
I'm Adidas, so I'm in England, man. You got to go with Adidas.
Right.
You dress like a proper soccer hooligan, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. I got the Stone Island everywhere. But I mean, what's that all about? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, but the reality is that these people, if they know that they can do that, they must have stopped them. If they know there's going to be no consequence whatsoever, it's like, I was going to say it's like not spanking your children, but that's a little bit extreme. I don't hit my children. I never have, but people need to be held responsible. People need to be held accountable for their actions. And if they're, at the very least, the store clerk can't even challenge them for stealing things.
Well, if we're okay, well, I'll play a little devil's avocado here.
Oh, hit me.
If we start making it up, because all these, like, as far as the laws go, a lot of these places, like the cities and the counties, aren't even charging these people with these petty thefts because they're decriminalizing it, right? If they're not going to get charged anyways, so it's, of course, going to force these people. It's going to not force these people, but it's going to have these people going into these businesses and stealing from people. If we make it a habit of, I mean, you've seen the people that work at Lululemon. Even the dudes aren't all the way dudes. Like, they're not like the most manly men in the world.
They're having a great month at the minute.
They're not like, it's a bunch of women. And if we make a habit of store clerks challenging people like that from a different world, from a little rougher part of the, you know, the town, I feel like your people are going to start getting hurt. You're going to have, you know, hooligans that are going to start hitting people and knocking out chicks in Walmart parking lots and Lululemon people getting shot at for trying to stop someone from stealing some shit that doesn't cost them anything. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't know that if my wife was working at Lululemon that I'd want her chasing out people in a parking lot they're stealing. Now, videotaping them?
No.
I'm fine with that.
No, Anthony, I 100% agree. If Rebecca was working there, if Ellie was working there, any of my children, I'd say, don't get involved. It's not your money. Just the same way, if a bank robber and you're a bank clerk and they come in and they will say, put the money in the bag, say, sure, take it, buddy. It ain't my money. And the bank's insured anyway, so who gives a damn? Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is I'm just talking about the principle of it. Of course, don't get involved. Of course, it ain't your problem. But at what point is society just going to grow a set of goddamn balls and be like, hold on a minute, you know, now listen, well, I don't know what the answer is, because everyone working at Lululemon or Best Buy or wherever is going to be a bloody security guard and BJJ black belt. Mm-hmm. That isn't the reality. And it probably goes back to what I said about fathers at the beginning. Do you know what I mean? A lot of this shit starts at home.
For sure.
You know what I mean? With positive.
That's a great point.
Male and female mothers and fathers involved, and they're getting raised right, you know. But I sound like such an old boomer now. But what is going on? You know,
I don't know if I've ever told the story, but we got like snatched and grabbed it in Brazil one time, where a bunch of kids ran up on us and pushed us, started grabbing wallets and chains and necklaces and stuff. And the tourist police happened to be right there and seen it, chased them down, you know. Pistol whipped him on the beach. It was ugly. It was really bad. But as they're walking these kids up in handcuffs, like these plastic, you know, like zip tie handcuffs, all the community people that were on the beach selling stuff, like whether it's bracelets and all the other bullshit that they make on the vendors.
Yeah.
The vendors all pile up and just start taking pop shots, and the police are just holding these kids, and every one of those vendors came up and started putting it on them. I think that kind of mentality, I'm not saying that we need to hold up criminals and let the community members come and beat the shit out of them, but that kind of mentality of, I don't know, the community policing itself and, I don't know, taking responsibility to kind of protect themselves is completely gone. It's completely gone. It's every man for himself. Like when I grew up in my hometown, if you ended up being some idiot just bothering someone on Main Street, you're going to have everyone that's on Main Street on your ass.
But the problem is though, you can't even do that.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, you can't even stick up for yourself and defend yourself. You know what I mean? Because in this pussified society that we live in, you know what I mean? The person that does most of the damage is going to be the one that, for the most part, is the one that's getting charged or penalized or sued and all the rest.
You rob me, I beat the shit out of you, and then you sue me, and then I'm fucked.
Well, you know what? Actually, on that same vein, think about this. This is number 5 in the notes, Brian. A car thief got more than he bargained for, and I haven't seen this video yet, when the owner was a 6'5" Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt by the name of Haysam Rida, and he gave him an ass whooping so hard that the cops had to stretcher the guy to hospital. Oh, you know what I mean? He just deserves.
Yeah.
And desserts, even. Brian, have you got the video there? Because I haven't seen this. I want to see it.
Initially, like, we tried to threw my stuff in the
car. What's that guy's name?
Heisel Garida.
Oh, I know that guy.
Heisel comes in like a fucking wrecking ball, bro.
Waking me up like, yo, Heisel, there's some guy in, you know, trying to open your door and going through your car and shit like that. So we checked the camera. I'm like, I saw that. I took off. So I chased him. And when I got close, I yelled, like, yo, you know, where are you going with my stuff? This guy had my funny pack, my Supreme funny pack with like my passport, debit card, you know, a very expensive Kobe the rookie card in there. I foot swept him. He fell to the canvas. He kept still trying to move, trying to escape. So I really could choke him from behind. When the cops got there, I told them my story, and he made it look way worse than he was. You know, he pretended like he was.
Yeah, I know that guy. He's actually competing at the Fight Pass Invitational in that $30,000 8-man tournament.
You know the guy.
Yeah, he trains in Austin. He's one of the B-team guys.
Oh, wow. That's
talk about a bad case of fuck around and find out, because that guy's a monster.
But There you go. Yeah. I mean, as I said before, we can't have all the Lululemons. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Get that guy a job at Lululemon. You'll never get another thing stolen again.
You know what? Hold on a minute. I'm going to do a complete 180. With the amount of money that they charge for a pair of shorts or track bottoms or a bra top, whatever, they can afford fucking black belt security guards everywhere.
They should.
Armed to the nines.
Have you worn their underwear? Have you worn their underwear? It's the most comfortable underwear you'll ever put on your ass.
God, how much though for a pair?
It's like a
three Brian, just look it up.
So three packs, like $50 or something.
No, it's gonna be more than that. I don't buy it. It's a lot. Anyway, I said at the top, I'm kind of excited for that this weekend. We've got Marvin Vettori taking on Jared Cannonier. Tremendous fight. And in fact, we've got UFC action every Saturday for the next 4 months.
Jesus.
Did you see that?
That's incredible.
Every Saturday for the next 4 months, a couple of shows ago when I was commentating, I think it was John Anik or Fitzgerald announced that. I mean, that's great for me. It's great for us. We've got a lot to talk about. Not good for our wives if they want a Saturday night out, because it ain't happening for the next 4 months, girl.
No, we're going to be there watching the fights. I'm excited for this fight because these are two guys that I got a lot of respect for. I got a lot of respect for them. And Marvin Vettori is one of those guys who I feel like we haven't seen his ceiling yet. Like I think if he just makes a few little adjustments, a few little changes in his game, if he can start really chasing some finishes, he'll really, really, because I think at a certain point, I think he was really honest with himself in that Whitaker matchup about some of the issues that he had in that fight and things that he had to go through. But I know sometimes people have written him off a little bit and saying, you know, he's one of the best guys in the world, but maybe he's not quite elite. I think he makes a few adjustments, and I think he can really elevate his game in huge, huge leaps.
Well, that's what people said. They're always quick to say, oh, listen, you know, this guy's good, but he's not elite. And we talked about this multiple times, and it's all well and good if you are an Israel Adesanya or a John Jones or a George St. Pierre that is instantly elite. Fantastic. But that doesn't mean you can't work your way up there. Doesn't mean you can't be a work in progress, a bunch of clay that's slowly getting molded by your team, your coaches, and more importantly, by yourself. You know what I mean? And Marvin Vettori is a hard worker. He's a tough son of a bitch. Listen, I like the guy. I like the guy a lot. And I'm just looking at his record, 19-6, only 2 knockouts, which is very surprising, to be fair, because he does hit hard. Mm-hmm. 9 submissions. That doesn't get mentioned. I mean, he does have good grappling, but 9 subs, pretty good. The people he's lost to, Robert Whittaker, no shame. Adesanya, Antonio Carlos Jr., Shoeface, and one guy back in the day, Bill Bowman. So he's only lost, other than old Billy Boy Bowman, he's only lost to the elite, you know, so there's no shame in that. And I'm excited for this fight because him versus Jared Cannonier, I don't think there's going to be too much in the way of grappling. You know, I think this will play out predominantly on the feet, just quickly on Cannonier, 16-6, 10 knockouts, 2 subs, last beat Sean Strickland, close fight, split decision before that, lost to Adesanya, also lost to Robert Whittaker. So they've kind of fallen foul to some of the same people, which any of the elite middleweights probably have the same losses, let's be honest.
Yeah. Whittaker and Adesanya.
You're going to lose to them, but how do you see this one going down, Anthony?
I think this might be one of the closer match fights that I've kind of come across in a long time. I want to say danger factor. I think I think Cannonier is going to dictate the range a little bit. He's going to be the one that's going to make, he's going to be making the decisions on who gets close to who. So I don't think that Vittori is going to want to hang out in Cannonier's range too much. Cannonier's a great kicker. And I think even in the Whitaker fight a little bit, Vittori had some problems with the late kicks. I think with the Adesanya fight, he had some problems with the late kicks. So I'm leaning Cannonier. But if Vittori can start getting some takedowns and really threatening the grappling exchanges, he can, even Derek Brunson was able to get some takedowns and pull that fight closer than maybe it typically would have been with just the threat of his takedowns. So if Vittori can get that going and mix it up and get the up-down going a little bit, I think he can really pull himself into it. I do lean Cannonier, though.
Yeah, it's a close one. Just for the sake of it, I'll say Marvin Vittori. I think for the most part, a player on the feet, I would like to see Marvin go for some takedowns, as you mentioned. I don't think Cannonier is the easiest guy to take down because he's one of those guys that they're always trying to take down.
Yeah, he's a freak athlete too.
I think Cannonier may be a little quicker, but I think Vittori is stronger. And I just, it's maybe I'm a little not biased, but maybe I'm making this because I talked to Vittori a bit more. Do you know what I mean? So who am I to say that Cannonier is not just as motivated? That isn't training just as hard. That isn't making the same sacrifices. Mm-hmm. But I don't speak to him as much as Marvin. And I know how important it is to Marvin. So I think he's going to come. He's going to have an incredible performance. I'm going to go Marvin Vittori.
I think they're both going to have an incredible performance, to be honest with you. I think this fight is going to be really, really close.
You know, a second ago when you said dictate the range.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were frozen up.
No, I was waiting. I was like, no.
I thought you were frozen up. It's just the way you're looking at me. No. When you said dictate the range, I smiled for a second.
Yeah.
Because it reminded me of something. When I was commentating, I was doing an interview. Where was it? I thought, where was it? And I said,
was this recently?
I was going to say, yeah.
You said dick taste?
The last one. Yeah, I said dick taste. I was going to say, you dictated the pace. And I said, you dick taste. And everyone straight away on social media, did Bisping just really say, how did his dick taste? And I was like, oh, you bastards.
I caught it. Gosh. I caught it live. And then
did you catch it?
It's so funny when I do something or say something stupid, I'll start getting tagged on social media, but they also tag you. And then if you say something or you mess up your words a little bit on the broadcast, they'll tag you, but they'll also tag me.
The old dick taste. Anyway, Armin Sarukian's back in action this week.
Who's he fighting? I didn't know that.
Joaquin Silva.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Stunning co-main event as well. All right, let's talk about HTLT supplements. Look, listen. Whether or not you're an amazing athlete, a world champion like myself, or just an everyday fitness enthusiast, or you're an average Joe looking to get off the couch and make some gains, right? Say goodbye to the average performance and say hello, baby, to the extraordinary results with the incredible product GO2 Max from HTLT Supplements. Let me tell you, workouts become easier. Motivation levels are higher. Workout sessions are easy, and halfway through a normal workout where you start to feel tired, you can't be bothered, and you say, you know what, let's call it a day. Well, guess what? You don't feel gassed. In fact, you feel motivated. Two-hour workouts feel like 30 minutes, and each week is better than the last. It's as if you are aging in reverse. If only you were, because if you were, I'd give it to my missus. Rebecca Bisping needs a bit of anti-aging. Don't slap me, babe. Listen. This stuff, all jokes aside, is scientifically backed in over a dozen human trials, all showing clear benefits when it comes to sleep, mood, energy performance, well-being, and weight loss. And it's not specific to one sport or cardio only. Simply taking it will get you back to a place of overall improvement, confidence, and motivation. And as I said, this isn't just a supplement for the hardcore athlete, but anybody, including a couch potato, who has trouble even getting up to exercise. So go to htltsubs.com to get the GO2 Max today. And when you check out, be sure to use the code BISPING. You're going to get 10% off. And when you're on the site, check out the wide range of products. They've got protein, multivitamins. They've got everything you need. Okay? htltsubs.com. The code is BISPING for 10% off. Anyway, non-MMA time. Let's have a little do here. What do we have? So Anthony, We have a millionaire in Finland getting a speeding ticket of $130,000, or we have a jury in Oregon convicted a man for setting up an Indiana Jones style trap on his property after losing in a lawsuit. Which one do you want?
We got to go that way. Booby trap in Oregon.
I haven't looked this one up, but that's all it is, because Harrington's normally here to give us a little bit of context.
I think he's here.
What's up, boys? Sorry about the back and forth. What's going on, boys? How are you?
What's up, Harrington? Cool. How are you, man?
You give a shit about us. It's fine.
I give so much of a shit about you.
What time do you call this?
What do you mean? What? 5:24 non-MMA time? You tell me.
We started a while ago. You weren't here.
Yes. Sorry. So sorry about that. There was just a bunch of bunch of accidents on the way.
No. I'm joking. I'm teasing. Because apparently there was a bad accident. You text Brian and said you're behind a dead body on the freeway.
Yeah.
It really a dead body?
No, there was no dead body, but there was like a lot.
So lying to us as well.
Yeah. Well,
also.
I'm having words and other things put in my mouth. Sorry about that.
Jesus
guys.
Christ, how did his dick taste?
He swore there was dead people.
Oh, come on.
That was a good one.
I'm here all night.
So check this out, right? This guy lost his house in a lawsuit, right? Like he went to court. That was like what the court findings were. So he said, "You're not taking my house." He blocked the driveway with a van that when, you know, the people showed up to like repossess the house, they were like, something seems off about this van. They had the bomb squad come in, find out that there was a couple of bombs rigged up to the van. They also found that if they had opened the front door, a hot tub, right, would have rolled out sideways and pancaked whoever opened the door, Indiana Jones style.
Yes.
Oh my God. So hold on, Hamilton. So this guy, it was a divorce settlement and he was losing the house. He didn't want anyone to take it off him. And he just thought, you know what? No one's having this house. I'm just going to, set traps.
Yeah. Try and take my land. Just try.
Yeah. What do you think, Anthony? Because I know you love this one.
I kind of respect it. A little bit. And I don't condone people setting bombs and stuff to kill other people, but sometimes you push the right person and you take enough things from them, you got to expect that people are going to fight back at some point in time. Once you lose your house, you kind of just run out of shit to lose. And the most dangerous person in the world is someone with nothing to lose. And that's why you got to be very careful. You want to take everything from someone. Walking up on a van with a bomb in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could go off on a tangent and talk about some losers that I bumped into recently that had nothing to lose, but they weren't dangerous. They were just absolute losers. But that's a story for another time. But you're right. I mean, if you lose your home,
what
would you do? I mean, if you were to set a trap in your house.
I would have never thought about a van bomb. That's a good one.
Well, it's a bit extreme, isn't it?
Yeah, like if you just want to fuck people up, that's okay. But like, A couple bombs in a van seem kind of dangerous.
That could be anyone. That could be a child.
No, a hot tub? A hot tub pancaking people rolling out of the house? That's genius.
I don't mind the hot tub, yeah.
I don't either.
The hot tub like squashing people, kind of like the ball on Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark. Or Crash Bandicoot. You ever play Crash Bandicoot?
Yeah.
You know when you're going to run away from the boulder?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the booby traps where someone steps in the circle of the rope and pulls him up in a tree. That'd be great. I would be the kind of guy that would like do stupid. Like, if you want my house, fine. But like, there's bears and shit living in it, and you just like let wild animals live in there.
Bears, you hear that?
Good luck. Bears. There's a grizzly bear in there. Good luck with that.
Now the whole station's in jeopardy. They can smell the menstruation. What's the movie?
I have no idea.
That's another little Anchorman quote. Yeah. But still, there it is. I've got nothing else to add to that, really. It's a funny story.
It's really funny.
I want to talk about the millionaire that got the $130,000 speeding ticket.
How do you get $130,000 speeding
ticket? Well, because this was in Finland, and the country judges, they base the fines on the offender's means and the severity of the offense. And Harrington, give us some context. So basically, this guy is obviously a wealthy guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's speeding his car, no doubt going very fast. Go ahead.
It was 20 miles an hour over the speed limit, which is...
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's not that bad.
I think
nothing.
I think that's reckless driving in America. I'll look that up, but I know 20 is pretty
20
fast.
20 miles an hour over the speed limit is nothing.
Okay.
No. Technically illegal. Yeah, sure, normal. Absolutely. Should you do it? Probably not. But don't tell me, anyone that drives, we have all gone 20 miles over the speed limit today.
Today. On the way here.
Yeah. I had to make up some lost time, so I definitely did. But yeah, so the way it works is this is a very, very wealthy man, and 20 miles an hour is considered egregious. So yeah, that's the fine that the court came up with.
Which is just absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. $130,000 for going 20 miles an hour over.
I feel like we're taking advantage of rich people at this point.
Well, I can see both sides, right? Because one side is, well, so the argument for it is that, well, this guy's so wealthy, unless we give him something, a fine, which is a deterrent, if we just give him, I don't know what it is in America, I've never had one, but in the UK, it used to be £60 and 3 points on your license. Mm-hmm. If you're Conor McGregor, or you're a Dana White, or you're a billionaire, Bill Gates, whatever, £60 isn't a deterrent to you.
No.
So I understand that. But also, there's a side of me that just hates the system where just because you've done well, you've worked your ass off. So therefore, it becomes one rule for you and another rule for another, you know?
Right.
The fucking tax brackets as well. You know what I'm saying?
Don't even get me going.
You work your ass off.
Yeah, don't even get
to
me
get going. Into a tax. You work your ass off to earn more money. And then therefore, because you're earning more money, we're now going to tax you more. That pisses me off.
It pisses me off too. It pisses, because then it just, I'm not going to get too into this because I'll
get into it.
I'll freak the fuck out. But like, why can't it just be a flat percentage across the board for everybody?
Oh, you're talking about tax. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Like what? Like 10% of this person working this regular job or working fast food or whatever in my 10%, of course, mine's going to be more than that person. So like the number is going to be higher. Why the fuck is my percentage higher than that person's? Like,
no.
It drives me crazy. It drives me absolutely.
I couldn't believe it.
It's fucking theft.
I used to work at factories on minimum wage, and then I started fighting in the UFC, and all of a sudden I jumped up a couple of tax brackets and my percentage was going through the roof. I'm like, whoa, 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 what is this? What are you talking about? It's just insane. I mean, look, listen, everyone needs to be taxed. Tax the goddamn billionaires. You know what I mean? I mean, I know that they have their legal loopholes and they're very smart financial
people. Well, that's the problem. Everyone's talking about like tax the rich. They're not taxing the rich. You're taxing the upper middle class. That's what it is. It's not like the rich people got loopholes and lawyers and firms and all this other bullshit to make sure that they're not getting taxed at all. So like get rid of the loopholes, because all you're doing is you're fucking me. Because like, and that's what drives me crazy.
And these politicians, they talk about it all the time that that's what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. But they never do. They never make a difference. Like Joe Biden is so full of shit and he's so useless. He hasn't come through on any of his policies. I mean, what happened to him recently? Did he fall over again or something? I mean, I know the guy's old as shit. Did he fall over again last week?
Brian probably knows.
He will know for sure.
Brian knows for sure he did. I'm fishing it up right now.
I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. I know he's the president of the United States of America. He needs to take a break.
He needs a nap.
He needs to turn it in for the night. Do you know what I mean? How old is he? 80?
80, I think. I think he's 80. 79 or 80.
Wants to run the United States of America at 80 years old.
If I was 80 years old, I wouldn't want to run my own bath.
It's hard enough to get us to do a podcast twice a week. You're 34, I'm 44. Imagine the shit he has to do. No wonder he's useless. He's 80 years old.
He's tired.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
My God.
And I'm not. Oh, here we go.
All right. Brian was quick to the fucking edit on that one. Gets the high definition version and everything.
He did. It's the best video he's ever pulled up on this since I've been on this show.
Oh God!
And look, he's like pointing down at the ground, like, "Look at that! Someone threw something."
You know, and the stuff that his administration is focusing on is just ridiculous. There's real problems in the world.
There is.
They don't seem to be going after them, and they don't seem to be. Anyway, that judge in Finland's out of his goddamn mind. What's the fastest you've gone in a car, Anthony?
Not crazy. I've been probably 160, probably.
Yeah, that's what I've been, 160.
Yeah, probably 160. Been pretty fast on a motorcycle.
What's the fastest? Oh, see, that's scary. What's the fastest on the cycle? Motorcycle.
Probably around 160.
Yeah.
Which feels much slower, to be honest. It feels.
Were you riding?
I was driving. Yeah. I was riding in the car. I was a passenger in the car and I was the driver on the motorcycle.
I've driven many times at 160. In the UK, there's the M6 toll road.
Yeah.
And I think now they do have cops. It used to be back in the day. Oh, this is what we thought. There's no cops. Private road is the toll road. I'm like, whoa, woof. But still. But I don't speak these days, and I certainly don't go 20 miles an hour over a speed limit. Harrington, come on. In fact, don't come on.
God, fine.
He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. You're okay.
I'm here.
You're all right, buddy. What's up?
You're flustered.
I am super flustered. I'm just getting it from the executive producer right now. But I'm good. I'm in the pocket. So in the last decade, what did you do wrong? Everything. Oh, okay. That's kind of my.
We'll talk about it.
Usually.
Hold on. Where's this going? In the last decade, what are you going rogue on us? You just chosen to steer us into unknown territory.
No, sorry. I was going to say that same guy has racked up $300,000 in speeding tickets in the last 10 years.
Right. So there's the context that we needed, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Ten minutes ago.
yeah. We've just shit all over Joe Biden and everyone. We're sick of this. You know what I mean? That guy's the definition of a repeat offender. Yeah. Like, so
the speeding ticket got us bitching about tax brackets in the Biden administration.
Like, yeah, I know. It's quite the segue. Yes,
sure. But at $130,000 for that ticket, you got to figure the other ones are probably $50,000 and up. So it's not that many over a 10-year stretch.
No, I don't know. It's quite a lot. But still, anyway, you know, a few weeks ago, there was a UFC fight. I think his second fight. Themba Garimbo. You must have seen this guy on social media. You might have seen his fights. Themba Garimbo. I forget. Oh, my God. My apologies. I commentated the fight. I interviewed him afterwards. Very, very inspirational guy. Comes from Africa. I forget the exact country. My apologies. Second fight, got a good stoppage in his second one after losing his first fight, which he took on short notice. And since then, I actually reached out to him because he's a very, very chatty guy. He's got a great personality. He's got a hell of a story. You know, comes from extreme adversity. And it sounds like pretty, pretty abject poverty in Africa. You know, and here he is in the UFC. He's in America. And he was talking about Colby Covington. Now, Colby Covington really taking care of
him. I do remember this guy, yeah.
And brought him food to the gym and, you know, all the rest of it. And he was like, you guys don't understand. You know, you guys have one opinion about Colby Covington. You want to see what he's doing for me. And no one knows about this. So he was quick to shed some light on that. And I reached out. I said, I'd love to get you on the podcast sometime. And he really wants to do that. But still, he's in the news this week because the story was he had $7 something left in his bank account. And The Rock came out this week. The Rock has offered to sponsor Themba Garimbo after he posted that he had just $7.50 in his bank account before his last fight and was even helped with food during training camp by Colby Covington, as I said. After getting a shout-out from The Rock, he managed to auction off his fight shorts for $5,000, which he used then to build a well for safe drinking water for his village in Zimbabwe. Wow.
That's crazy. How incredible. How incredible.
He's got $7. He sells his shorts for $5,000, which is insane, to be fair.
Right.
And then he takes that money and goes and builds a well.
And doesn't use it for himself.
Loading it up in Miami.
I would love to talk to that guy.
Well, let's do it then. Yeah. Next week, 100%.
Incredible. Yeah,
I'll reach out to him because he came back. He's like, Mike, when we're doing this, I hope you haven't forgotten. I'm like, no, but I've just been traveling a little bit. But yeah.
That's crazy.
Quite a story.
I did see the thing where like he needed that win so bad because he was so broke, which is even crazier. There's another thing people don't understand too. Like if someone's that broke, he fought Saturday with $7.50 in his bank account. He's not getting that money till Tuesday. Yeah. So like he still has Sunday. He got Saturday night, Sunday, Monday. Maybe it comes in Tuesday. Like sometimes those transfers come in Tuesday. Sometimes it's Wednesday or Thursday. Like, so just because he fought and won, but I think he got a bonus too, if I remember right. But maybe maybe he didn't. I don't remember. But you know, like he's still got to make it to like potentially Wednesday or Thursday, which is kind of sad, you know?
Yeah, you know, you just reminded me that I remember I had my first, was it the first UFC fight? Yeah, I had my first UFC fight in Vegas. And I stuck around for a little bit. And I remember, because back then we got checks. Mm-hmm. Now it's all wired.
Yeah,
I used to like the checks. I used to love, oh God, back in the day, you know, Dana was very kind. I got some big bonuses and stuff. I loved, because I'm from a small little town. I would love walking in the bank on a Monday morning with that check going, hello. Is that the same bank clerk that, you know, always giving me shit, always looked down the nose at me, thought I was a little scumbag. I'm like, just like to pay this check in there. You know, I said, oh, that's a big one. I'm like, yeah, you know. Productive weekend, shall we say.
This old thing.
I remember one time
I stayed late in Vegas and I was broke. So I fought Saturday, lost, and then took my paper check and cashed it at a Wells Fargo and just felt like I was rich.
Well, that's just what I was about to say. I remember. Yeah, no, you're good. No. I did the same thing. Me and Rebecca, we had hardly any money, but I had the checks. Mm-hmm. So every time we're back in Vegas, we always say, why did we walk? Because you know those casinos in Vegas on the Strip?
Mm-hmm.
They look like they're close together.
Yeah.
But to walk between them is a long way. Mm-hmm. And I must have gone to 4 or 5 different casinos trying to cash this check. Jesus Christ. I mean, it was a lot of money to cash a check for, but it wasn't crazy. It was like, I don't know, $10,000 or something.
Yeah.
You know, but why we didn't get a cab? Well, we had no money. That's why. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we kept walking, and Rebecca was like, no one's going to do it. I'm like, no, they will. I'm telling you. It's a fucking UFC check.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was on TV. I felt good, though.
It did. I think mine was around that. It might have been 15 grand or something. It wasn't a lot, but it was, like you said, it was a lot of cash for sure.
The reason we said that, by the way, because everything's relative to a lot of people. Some people might think, well, that's not crazy. To other people, $10,000 is like winning the lottery.
At the time, you know what
it was. Yeah, no, it was to me. I'll never forget. And I remember I was paying for something in some grocery store, and I pulled the cash out to pay, and this woman was up. What y'all doing walking around with all that money on you? You know what I mean? I was like, yeah, I'm loaded.
Yeah, I'm rich.
All right, Harrison, what should we get to? Oh, no, we've got to talk about this, actually. This is actually a very interesting conversation. You might have seen it. You probably have. DC says that Jim Miller will not make the cut for the UFC Hall of Fame. I'll give the quote. He says, Jim Miller was never in the top 5. He's never in the top 10. I love Jim Miller. I love everything that he's accomplished. But at one point, Cowboy Cerrone, who, by the way, I don't think should be in the Hall of Fame either, was the all-time wins leader. I don't hate Jim, but Jim has a record that at some point can be broken. Israel Adesanya, Volkanovski, Sterling. Those guys will never hold the win record. You want to know why? Because they're fighting the best of the best. Then there was a bit of backlash. But he sticks to those comments. He says, I stand by it, man. People disagree all the time, but I'm not wrong. My points are valid, as are the ones from the people that are saying they should get in. As the sport keeps growing, these discussions will happen more. Cowboy, in my opinion, shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but I understand the argument for him. He's on a lot of the same list, but also spent a lot of the time in the top 10 and fought for the title. But for me, he would still be a little short. What do you think?
I was disappointed to hear DC say that. I respect his opinion, especially as someone as accomplished as Daniel Cormier. He's in the Hall of Fame. I think Jim Miller gets in, but who am I to say that? You know, like, is, I don't know. Of course, when you're in the Hall of Fame, it seems a bit pretentious to sit up there with your, you know, fancy Hall of Fame jacket, casting down stones at people saying who you think deserves to get in. That's how it feels a little bit. But I understand his point. But I do think that at some point in time, when you've been around so long, you have so many fights, so many wins, bonuses. I think there's a place for a guy like Dan or a guy like Jim Miller. Do they need to create a different, I don't know, a different category? Maybe for guys like Jim, maybe that's an argument people can have. I think that his career is a Hall of Fame career. Was he champion? No. Did he fight for the title? No. Was he in the top five? No. But did he outlast almost everybody? Yeah, I think that's an accomplishment. He's got more wins than anybody in the UFC. That's an accomplishment. I think he deserves it.
No, for sure. At one point, I had the most wins in the UFC. Mm-hmm. The point that DC's making is that records get broken. And that, yeah, I understand what he's saying, and I respect DC, and we all like DC.
Yeah, I get what he's saying.
But we're all entitled to our opinions. We're all entitled to our opinions. I disagree with him massively. Yes, he's correct. Records get broken, and I'm pissed off because when I retired, I had a few. But they do get broke. But what Jim Miller has given to the sport, the longevity, the entertainment, the fights, the finishes, all the rest of it, that is a Hall of Fame career. We did this recently when he was on, but one more time, most wins in history, 25, most bouts at 42, most bouts in the lightweight division, 39 in the lightweight division, most wins in the lightweight division at 22. Second most finishes in the lightweight division. Tied Damian Maia for second most subs in UFC history. And it goes on and on and on and on. There's no clear set definition of what it takes to be in the Hall of Fame, because I don't think you need or have to have been a champion to get in.
Me either.
But there might not be a definition, but Jesus Christ, the list of accomplishments even that I just said, yeah. By the way, that's not even half of them,
right?
We're doing a podcast, we don't want to bore people, yeah. If all that together doesn't get you in the Hall of Fame, then what does?
Well, if that doesn't get him in the Hall of Fame, I definitely got no shot. You know what I mean? Like, will I get in the Hall of Fame? I don't know, but probably not. But like, if he doesn't get in, no, like, if the rule is you got to win, very few people win titles. I know that in this whole MMA space we're in, fans are like, oh, there's so many champions. Like, not that many people win world titles in the UFC. It's just a small percentage. So if that's the case, then just everyone that wins one gets in, which doesn't seem right either.
Yes, because then it's like, oh, so you win the belt, you're automatically in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But then that doesn't make the Hall of Fame special. So therefore, you had to do something.
Right. Then we got Nico Montano's getting in the Hall of Fame.
There you go. Shout out Nico.
Shout out Nico.
Oh, geez, Louise, Anthony. But
Dean Thomas tried to convince me that Nico Montano would have beaten Amanda Nunes.
Oh my God.
I swear to God, he tried.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Did Dean Thomas
train her?
No. No.
Well, what's he doing?
He's crazy. It's so stupid. His thought process is Amanda never loses to anybody good.
She only gets
beat by people that are very good.
Listen, I don't want to slag Nico off.
I don't either. But
let's get back to Jim. But I was just going to say, like, if you win the belt, then you don't just become a Hall of Famer. Right. So that means you've got to do something extraordinary in your career. You've got to do something that stands out. You know what I mean? And being the guy that's just for forever and ever and ever. And every time you still see him on the card and the entertainment that he's given, and the finishes, the knockouts, the subs, and just being such, always being true to himself, never changing. You know what I mean? There's more to it. It's about the person. It's about how you impacted the sport. And I feel like Jim Miller has left a big impact on this sport.
He has. And he's sacrificed a lot. And I think he deserves something in return for that.
Let me ask you this. I don't know why this just popped in my head, because you said, you don't have to be a champion.
Yeah.
Nate Diaz, Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I say Nick, yes.
Why Nick?
Nick, because it's Nick Diaz, bro. He has been around forever, since 2002. He's one of the early pioneers, and he's just come and look at the people that he's fought and a lot of the people that he's beaten.
Yeah.
I think Nick's career is more impressive than Nate's, and I'm not talking shit about Nate. You know what I mean? The two brothers, I'm huge fans of both of them.
Yeah.
But still, there we go.
That's an interesting argument. I would say Nate, because of just his impact and how he changed the sport in a lot of ways.
You can't deny that. It's certainly the impact.
But if we're talking career, I have a hard time disagreeing that Nick probably had a better career.
Yeah.
More impressive for sure.
See what I mean? It is a very interesting conversation to have when you start looking into it, the if, buts, and whys, the criteria for how you get in.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if there is any black and white criteria.
Would you think? I kind of like that there's not.
Yeah.
I think I like that there's not, because then it's just people chasing. Now you're just chasing criteria on how to get in.
I will say this about the criteria. I don't know what the criteria is, but I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
The criteria is perfect because I'm in the fucker. Come on.
You're like, oh, I don't mean it doesn't. No, I'm in, you know.
I mean, whoever's making those decisions, they're spot on. DC, yeah, geniuses. Shut up. They are smart guys. All right, believers, let's talk about Seed and their amazing product, the DS01 Daily Symbiotic. DS01 was developed for systemic benefits beyond digestive health, the first in the pipeline of clinically studied next-generation products. It's a daily probiotic and a prebiotic. Let's get to the point. It's all about gut health, okay? And the gut health is so important. So what's in it? Well, 24-strain broad-spectrum probiotic and prebiotic formulated for digestive, gut, immune, and additional systemic benefits from the viability of 53.6 billion probiotic bacteria. I don't know if you know about that, but 53.6 billion, that's a lot of billions. So the two-in-one ViaCup delivery technology protects against stomach acid, digestion enzymes, and bile salts for viability through digestion. What does that mean? The live biotics, the live probiotics even, will actually make it to the end of the small intestine for delivery to the colon, you know, where you poop. The prebiotic outer capsule is made from an Indian pomegranate. This outer capsule serves as an elegant barrier to oxygen, moisture, and heat, which means no refrigeration necessary. The probiotic inner capsule has a proprietary formulation comprised of clinically and scientifically studied strains characterized at academic institutions and research partners in Italy, Spain, Belgium, Japan, blah, 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 US, all over the world. It is not of animal or soil origin, and it is bio-fermented in Europe. We're talking some fancy stuff here, okay? You're sitting there, you're listening to me going, what does all this mean? It means good gut health. It means living your best life. It means being healthy, because the gut is so important. Just look it up on YouTube. You'll find out all about it. It's sustainably delivered monthly. Each component of the refill system is designed to protect your DS01 daily symbiotic and be gentler on the earth. The shipping box is constructed from ecological paper made from algae that would otherwise damage fragile marine systems. Your bio-based tray is made of renewable ingredients, starch, natural fibers, water, and produced energy efficiently. It's fully recyclable and home compostable. Your monthly refill comes in bio-based pouches that keeps oxygen and moisture out whilst being planet safe. They also use an entire natural insulator made from US-grown non-GMO corn starch. So right now, get 25% off your first month's supply of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic by using the promo code BELIEVE at checkout. Seed.com. Once again, that's Seed, S-E-E-D.com. Seed.com, use the code BELIEVE. 25% off. Take control of your gut health today. Live your best life. Be happy. Be healthy. Be a believer. Let's go. Harrington, what have we got? In fact, no, we don't need Harrington. No offense, buddy. Jamal Hill's in the news.
Mm-hmm.
You've been talking about Yuri Prohaska saying, what is he doing? What do you know? Have you spoken to Jamal recently?
He was at my fight in Charlotte. And I think essentially what he's saying now is kind of just what he talked to me about in Charlotte. They need a clear contender. Obviously he wants to fight Yuri, but he's not really tied to that. He's not married to the idea of it only being Yuri, but he sounds like the UFC just needs a clear contender to poke their head up above everybody else. Which is kind of where I think this Jan Blachowicz, Pereira fight comes in, but it sounds like he wants to fight sooner than that. So, but there isn't really anybody to fight.
Brian, can you bring up the top 10 of the light heavyweight rankings? Because off the top of my head, I can't think. I mean, Jan Blachowicz, of course, if he can beat Pereira, I think Dana pretty much said that gets, mm-hmm. he would get it. I think Jamal and Pereira, I think that would probably get it as well, because simply talk about a fun matchup and he was a middleweight champ. And it'd be such an exciting fight as well. But who do we have here? There we go. Yuri, Ankalaev, Blachowicz, Rakic, Krylov, Walker, Uzdemir. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because you're right. There isn't any one that really stands out. I would say even though Ankalaev is ahead for some reason of Blachowicz.
Yeah.
I mean, Yuri Prohaska is the one. But if he's not going to fight soon,
Right. Well, Ankalaev and Blachowicz are not coming off of wins. They're coming off that draw. Rakic is coming off a loss, although it was an injury, or it's still a loss.
Blachowicz.
Krylov is coming off of a loss. Johnny Walker.
Who beat Krylov?
Span.
Oh, Span. That's right.
And then Johnny Walker, obviously, then me. I'm coming off a loss. Volkan Ozdemir. Now we're getting far down. Paul Craig coming off a loss. Ryan Span. Mrazanikanov is, you know, he's coming off a win, but he's way down there.
You know, in some ways, then, and I hope this doesn't, you know, not mean to be insulting, Pereira coming up to 205 adds a little bit of fresh blood as well, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
The star power.
And it really shows I totally fucked myself by losing. Because I'd have been that guy for sure. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, well you would.
It is what
you
it
would.
Is.
You would. Well, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Sorry, man. I didn't mean to bring that up.
It doesn't matter. I'm good.
Does it piss you off, though, if you don't mind me asking? I mean, like sometimes do you sit there at night and fucking really dwell on it a little bit?
I try not to for very long, but it does bother me. Like, it was right there. And we're seeing it now. Like, it's right there. That's all I had to do.
Mm.
And, you know, again, credit to Johnny. Did a good job.
No. Hey,
this is what it is.
All about. That's the game.
And we'll get back
that's
at
the
it.
Game.
We'll get
that's
back the at game. It.
It's just like a text to, what's his name? Brendan Loughlin last week. Same thing. That's the game, man.
Game's
that's the game.
It's a motherfucker.
All right, Harrington, is there anything decent in non-mixed martial arts? A funny story that you've got for us at all? Hold on. This one. The woman on the plane. This isn't true. This isn't real.
I think it is. I genuinely do believe it is because I know she did get kicked off of the flight. Brian, if you want to bring
it. Hold on. Before you play the video, so a woman, I don't know if you've seen this, Anthony.
They sent
through a video. A woman on a plane bought 3 economy tickets so you can put the armrest down.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as you guys call it, saran wrap. We call it cling film.
Oh, I have seen, yeah.
Cling film. And then she like cling films or saran wraps a whole area to make like her own little bit bubble so she can have like a business class seat. I mean.
Yeah.
The problem is it's a long video, but look.
Is this real?
It can't be. Well, so it did say on the video that I saw this is a dramatization of an actual real event. So this is like a staged video to give us a bit of idea. Fast forward to the end, Brian, where she gets called out by the people that call you out on planes. All right.
Flight
stewardesses. Attendant. It's okay. We get there. It is in the scar. Look, it's ridiculous.
Okay, the saran wrap thing is a problem, but there's got to be a better way you could buy 3 seats because if you buy 3 seats. You get 3 seats, right?
You get 3 seats.
Yeah. I don't see an issue. Going
saran wrapping yourself in.
Yeah, I mean.
I have an issue with that. You can't start saran wrapping people. What about the person in the 4th seat along? You got that sticky saran wrap touching your thing.
Yeah, that would suck.
You know, choking issues. I don't know. The whole thing is you're just a special person if that's your plan. If that's
just take your 3 seats, I guess, then.
Well, just don't buy 3 seats. Take that money. I'm telling you, it can't be much difference.
The way the flight prices are these days, it can't be that much difference.
It's absolutely goddamn insane. What's Brian has to be a safety issue. Yeah. Well, you would think so.
Oh, yeah. It'd be hard to evacuate the plane if you had to, I suppose.
You know, on the way out here, I was very lucky. I had a business class seat.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the airport and I checked, because, you know, we all booked economy tickets, but I had to do a little bit of filming back in Tenerife for that film. And so I managed to blag them into getting me a business class ticket, right? So when we got to check in, they'd oversold the flight.
Oh, no.
They'd oversold the flight. And I was so pissed. I was so mad because in my mind, I was like, oh, sorry, babe. Sorry, kids. You're all going to be slumming it, but I'm going to be up the front with the champagne, laid on a bed, resting, feeling like $1 million when we land. They'd oversold the flight, so I didn't get one. And I was so, so, so pissed.
Oh, I bet.
And I said, I have paid so much money for this seat. What are you going to do? what are you going to do for my compensation? And they said, well, we can give you a premium economy ticket. Okay. I was like, oh, well, it's better than, mm-hmm. you know. And then they went, and we'll give you a free round trip business class ticket to wherever you want in the future. And I get my business class flight back home. Anyway,
right.
So I
you kind of made out okay.
Yeah. In my
but
mind,
you gotta act like, mad.
I'm acting mad still. In my mind, I'm still acting mad. But I'm like, oh shit! So I get to come back business class. I'm going premium economy there. I was going economy anyway. Right. I'm coming back business, and I get a free plane ticket business class anywhere in the world. So I'm like, this is unacceptable.
This is. I mean, I guess.
I mean, well.
If that's all you got.
If that's all you've got, then I guess we'll do that. Anyway, Hamilton, in terms of MMA, before we get to some questions, is there any breaking news, anything big that we need to get to? And if not, we'll do some questions. But if there is anything that we've missed, what have we got, bud?
No, I'm just seeing, I mean, you know, some conspiracy stuff that I feel like would be more in Brian's corner out of Israel Adesanya. But yeah, that's really nothing crazy at all.
Oh, hold on. You got to explain that sentence.
So I'm sorry. The number one thing that comes up when you're, when, you know, I'm just looking for MMA news here, Israel Adesanya went on a very funny comedian, Andrew Schultz's podcast, and just claimed that, the reason that the Islam versus Volkanovski decision went the way it did is because of a greater conspiracy.
And what's the greater conspiracy?
So I have the quote here. There's a conspiracy that Chance, my boy Chance, kind of put me onto, because Volk, I was in Perth. I was right there. He's a great fighter, you know, from that side of the Dagestans. They're effing awesome at their wrestling and whatnot. But this guy has a myth, and Alex effed him up. I didn't say this. Chance said this. I'm paraphrasing. He said, look at this movement right now with Fight Island Abu Dhabi, the stake they have in the UFC. It pays them to have a champ that's from that side of the world.
Oh, that they wanted fight in Abu Dhabi.
They want a Muslim champion. So they're saying that they're, well, if that was the case, because they already had a Muslim champion, his name was Islam Makhachev. If they didn't want to risk it, they wouldn't put him up against a pound-for-pound number one that's in a different weight class. Mm-hmm. So you know what I'm saying? These conspiracies. And I like Izzy. I would have thought that Izzy would know better than that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a far stretch.
That's a stretch. That's a stretch. Armstrong.
I don't want to give it too much. I get it. He's sticking up for his guy. I've always appreciated Izzy for that. He'll go to the end of the earth for him.
Yes, Harrington.
If that were true, wouldn't Bilal Muhammad have gotten a title shot by now?
Also, very good point. Fought on the Fight Island, he beat Sean Brady. Yeah. Oh my God, that's a very good point. Very good, Harrington.
Yeah.
Very good. You can come back on 5 seconds of our time. Go on. Come on.
You deserve it.
Hi, Mom.
There you go. Big smile.
Hi.
Brilliant, brilliant. If you've got any questions, as always, we'd love to hear them. Video questions, please send them in to bympod@gmail.com. Please send them in.
If you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure to subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. It really helps us out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and totally uncensored, head to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code BYM, get yourself a 7-day free trial, and check out over 20 great shows on the network.
All right, so for questions today, we're going to start off with one silly one that got sent in by two different people, and I'm pretty sure we all know the answer to it already, but let's just go for it. This is Rob Scarron.
All right, Rob.
Hi, guys. Big fan of the podcast. Mike, massive inspiration for me losing weight. I've got a long way to go, but you're helping me on that journey. So my question, you may have heard the story about Mike Tyson when he bribed the zoo guy to let him in to fight a silverback gorilla. So my question is, you can pick 3 active MMA fighters to go in there and take him on, because you'll probably need 3, right, to have any chance of winning against a silverback gorilla. I'm picking John Jones, Francis Ngannou, and Islam Makhachev, because he's got probably got experience of, you know, sort of wrestling bears, so that might help against the gorilla. Let me know what you guys think.
You can pick the 3 best fighters that ever lived. You can pick the 6 best. It doesn't matter. You ain't fighting and being victorious against a silverback fucking gorilla, okay? It will grab hold of John Jones's head and go and just rip it off his body, okay? It will pick up Francis Ngannou and go, ooh, and smash him to pieces. And there's the Makhachev, we're going, brother, this is number one bullshit. I'm running down the street, okay? It doesn't matter.
Did he say they had to be active? Oh, okay.
So who's yours, Anthony?
I'm going to go probably Luke Rockhold, Johnny Walker, and...
Yeah. Three people you hate.
I don't hate them. I just want to watch.
Strong word.
Yeah, hate's a strong word. No, and me and Luke are good. We chit chat.
All right. We're playing that game. I'm throwing in Vitor Belfort.
And then I'll, you know what? I'll give you
Tim Kennedy.
You can have you. I'll Vitor too.
Yeah, throw Vitor in. All right, okay. So, anyway, can we get a real question that we can have some real conversation about, please, and not just utter nonsense?
Of course. This next question is from Wyatt Chap.
That said, we do specialize in utter nonsense. What?
Look at his eye.
Hello, BYM. As you can see here, my eye's fucked up. My eye's pretty fucked up bad. I caught a knee to the eye when I shot. So I'm sure you guys get this question a lot, but I'm probably not going to be sparring or like wrestling that hard. I could wrestle, but I don't want to risk it. So I think I'm just going to like kind of take the week off. But what should I do? Should I like do some meditation, like journal? What do you guys do when you're injured? You can't do shit, like to stop you from wanting to kill yourself. Thank you guys at the BYM podcast, Mike, Anthony, and all the other folks. Can't remember your name. But yeah, if you guys could answer that, I'd appreciate it. Love you guys. Mwah.
All right. Didn't have to sign up for the kiss. That's the first thing you need to do. Not sign off with a kiss. Ice it. You need to ice that straight away. And don't worry about bloody training. That's a pretty swollen eye you've got there. Take some time off.
Don't do that to him.
What?
Tell him the truth.
What's the truth?
Don't be a pussy and get back to practice. Ice that shit. Probably don't spar. But you can do jujitsu. You can wrestle. You can wrestle in the clinch. You don't need to see. Ice that thing. Make sure you're not taking any bumps to it. Probably don't spar, but you can keep training. Don't be a pussy.
Yeah. But why? Why would he continue to train with it?
He seems like the type of guy that needs it because he said, what can you do to kill some time so that you don't end up killing yourself? Was his exact quote.
Yeah.
So it seems like a guy that needs to be in the gym.
Okay.
You need to be in there. You can find things to do around the eye. It's just a
bump. Oh, no, for sure. If you're... Let's say you say, okay, because you're right. I understand what you're saying there. But I was like, you know, if you're not training for a fight, if you're not a professional fighter, if it's not who you are, right, then just have some time.
Well, you can sit on the couch. Yeah.
Go do something else. Go ride a bike. Go read a book. Go write something. I don't know, but go lift weights.
Right. You know, it seems like he's losing his shit, not being able to train.
Well, in that case, there's so much you can do. Don't get punched in the eye. Don't wrestle either.
Yeah, don't wrestle.
Don't wrestle.
Yeah,
you're always going to get injured, right? Yeah. Whether or not you've got a swollen eye or not, and don't get punched. Other than that, you can stretch, you can work on your mobility, you can do jiu-jitsu, don't roll too hard, you can lift weights, you can hit bags,
you can run. Definitely ice it. It's really swollen.
I sound like such an old dude. Like I'm always going on at Callum because he recently stepped away from his wrestling career, decided, it's just not worth the toll on his body. And it was a big decision for him. And his knees are really bad and his back's killing him. He had his tricep ripped off the bone. And whenever we're lifting weights, he's always in pain with his tricep. And I'm like, right, son, I said, what we've got to do is, you got to put some time and effort into this. You know what I mean? It's not going to make itself better overnight unless... Mm-hmm. You can't just lie in bed and expect it to happen. You got to work at this. You got to ice the shit out of everything. You got to get some mobility work. You got to have some massage. You got to get some deep tissue work. You got to stretch like a motherfucker and ice after every session. It's work.
It's a lot of hard work.
And I said to him, I said, this crosses over to everything in life. Anything in life, son, that you're trying to achieve, it's going to be work. Just like your arm's sore, you got to do the rehab. Your knees are killing. We're going to get them looked at. We need to go see the doctor. We need to get some imaging done. You got to get off your ass and go down to the doctors. It's all work. It's all effort. If you don't get off your ass and be proactive in finding out what the cause is, then you're never going to solve the problem.
Right.
And it's the same in every walk of life and whatever you are doing, whatever you're trying to achieve, it's fucking work. You got to get off your ass and hustle every single 100%. Goddamn day.
100% agree. 100%, and I hope that he does not just sit around, because he does. I don't know why I got that. Maybe it's just that little offhanded comment he said, but I get it because I'm that guy. If I'm not, if I'm not training or I'm not doing something to expel this extra energy in my body, I lose my mind. So when I'm injured and I can't train, I go insane. The wheels fucking fall off. So
no,
you
get
figure something out, my friend.
I get it. I used to be like that if I didn't, if I was training for a fight.
Yeah.
And I couldn't train. Oh my God. Brian, please.
All right. We got another question here from John from Sydney. Yeah.
Hey, BYM Pod. John here from Sydney, Australia. Huge fan. And super simple question, what is your all-time favorite feel-good moment in all of MMA? And that's be one that you watched as a fan as well. So, Michael, you can't just say when you won the title. But my personal favorite would be when Charles Oliveira beat Michael Chandler for the championship. That was a great, super happy, feel-good moment. And yeah, I'd love to know you guys' answer. So keep up the great work. You guys make the bad days good and the good days even better.
Catch you later.
Appreciate that.
That was lovely.
He had nice hair.
Man, he's got a hell of a mane.
He's got some nice hair.
God, that's so hard for me to answer because there's so many when I've been there and or I've been commentating or just as a fan when I've been there at home. I'm like, wow. Look, it's not the number one, but it's one that's popping into my mind. Look at what Israel Adesanya did. After losing three times, the mockery, everything that he had to put up with, and then knocking him out. That was unbelievable.
Yeah,
there's so many, though.
The one that stands out to me, like you said, there's so many moments. I still don't know that I've ever felt like I felt after watching Leon Edwards win the title.
Yep, there you go.
It was
fantastic example.
And I was, I think part of it, I don't know if I would have felt like that watching it at home on TV, but I was in the building and I was like right there. Just the emotion that was like nobody left. Everyone stayed in the building. The post-fight interview, you know, like, look at me now. Well, I was like, I got the chills just saying that. Like, it was an insane moment. I've never really felt like that before.
No, that's a really good one, but I can't give a specific example. And I know it's a terrible answer, but they're all well and good. The examples that we just gave, Leon Edwards is now the champion of the world and he was on a tremendous win streak, even though he'd been overlooked for a while. Israel Adesanya, he's had an amazing career, one of the best ever, and he's making ridiculous amounts of money. But for me, the real true feel-good stories are the guys that are on the way up, the guys that are fucking struggling and fighting tooth and nail to pay the bills, and the borrowing money off Peter to pay Paul, and they're sleeping on a couch. Yeah. And, you know, they've lost the last fucking couple in the UFC, you know, and if they lose this one, then they know that they're cut. Because, you know, when you're commentating or when you're doing the desk, you'll see it, you know what I mean? You get to see these people a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. You get to see them backstage. I get to see them come past me and after I've just interviewed them or whatever, and they're like, they say something, and you can see the tears in their eyes, and you can see what this means to them.
Yeah,
they're the ones for me that are real feel-good stories, and there's so many, you know, and I can't think of one right now, so I apologize.
But yeah, no, I was trying to think of like an individual one too, and I couldn't. One hasn't popped in my head, but like the guys that have, you know, just double digit money left in their bank account or something.
Yeah,
you know, very similar
for sure
to the guy we talked about earlier. And then they pop a bonus or something. And
like Daniel Rodriguez, I remember I remember Joe Schilling told me it was the day after his UFC debut. He got a knockout. He got a bonus. I hope I'm getting this correct, but I think I am. Mm-hmm. And in the security line at the airport, Joe Schilling was like two or three behind me. So like I went back and talked to him and thought, I'll wait in line with you and have a chat. I said, oh, your boy looked good last night. He's like, Mike, you don't understand, man. He said he had no money. You know, he said he fucking, I had to buy his movie ticket. We went to our movie last night. I had to buy him his movie. I had to buy him his fucking popcorn and all the rest of it. You know, that's now crazy. He's going home with $100,000 in his bank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're the feel-good stories, you
know? Talk about like rags to riches. It's just a complete 180. Yeah, those are the good ones, though. I agree.
Yeah, yeah. No, they are. We'll do one more, and then because it's 11:11 p.m. here, so
it's getting late.
I think I'm allowed to go to bed. It's getting late. And yeah. Brian's worried because he's like, I've got to edit this by 9 p.m. Eastern time.
We're cutting it a little close, but we'll be fine. next question is from Connor Cartwright.
All right. This question for you is for all of you. What's some of your favorite bands? Mine are Steel Panther, JLS, and Susan Boyle. Anyway, lads, I'm going to enjoy this beer.
Let's go.
Go on, lad.
There we go.
Anyway, lads, have a good one.
This guy's a piss taker.
I love this guy.
Do you know who Susan Boyle is?
Uh-uh.
Come on, Brian, just look up Susan Boyle. She won like Britain's Got Talent or America's Got Talent. She's like an old Scottish woman. She's about fucking 60-odd.
Okay.
she sings opera or something like that. JLS.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's bullshitting.
Yeah. He's but then look, there she is. That's one of his favorite bands. All right, mate. And then JLS. In fact, just do JLS UK band. Do that as well, Brian, and let's get a visual on them. Because he doesn't look like a JLS type. But you never know.
I love that even more that I didn't get it.
Yeah. Just zoom in on this one.
Yeah, that doesn't look like that. Like
poor English Backstreet Boys. But it is a good question. Who's your favorite bands of yours, Harrington? Harrington, I called you Harrington.
Uh-oh.
I apologize.
No, you're fine.
It'll never happen again.
I would say when I was growing up, I was a big Breaking Benjamin fan.
Never heard of them.
Breaking Benjamin, 3 Days Grace. Kind of a little bit alternative rock. These days... a lot of country, so nothing good.
Yeah,
nothing great.
I'm sitting. This is really bad. I can't think of a single one. I mean, I've got all the typical ones that you might say. You know what I mean? I like music. I listen to a very eclectic mix, shall we say? But I wouldn't say I have a favorite band. There wasn't a guy that was going to concerts when I was younger. Are you much of a concert goer?
I am. We do a lot of concerts, but it's a lot of different shit. It's like we went to Usher and then I just went to Lizzo. And then the next week after Lizzo, I went to Brooks and Dunn. So
we're
like,
doing a concert, bro.
Yeah, I love concerts. We love concerts a lot.
When I've been to concerts, I've loved it. And I thought I should have been doing this my whole life.
Yeah.
We got to do more of this.
I like a little bit of underground concerts too. Like I went to Machine Gun Kelly. I was going to Machine Gun Kelly concerts when he was doing like tiny little bar venues with 100 people there.
Yeah.
So like, I love that.
I was into the rave scene. You know what I mean? So like, you know, like.
I would love to go to a rave.
A lot of clubbing, a lot of raves and stuff like that. So it wasn't, you know, concerts and bands and stuff like that. It was tremendous amounts of ecstasy and dance music. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Subscribe and ring the bell if you haven't done so, please. And we will see you on Monday.
No.